Okay, so you ready for a motion?
Ready for some motion. I'd like to call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. It is 4:40, and we're reconvening for the purpose of the operating budget overviews by the various subcommittee chairs. Let's see, present back with us, Senator Bundy, Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson,
Chairman.
Senator Dyson, Senator Stedman, and Co-Chair Green. You should have before you a blue book, and in the blue book are the summaries that each of the subcommittee chairs will go over in order, and I'll give you the order here in just a moment. And just to summarize their actions, and their actions are incorporated into the committee substitute, which was passed out, and that's version P. There are some changes between their reports and what is in the CS, and I'll catch those as they go along. There's not a lot, just three different departments, but we'll catch those as they go along. Let's see. This budget, just for the public's information and for the agencies, this budget operated, and each of the subcommittee chairs operated under a set of rules and some goals. The overall goal is that we don't want to have an increase in government more than we did last year. To that end, we drew some guidelines to no new programs, no automatic backfill of non-GF or federal monies, and no significant expansion of current programs. That was roughly defined as 10% as a guideline. As the budgets came back, I think you'll see today, committee, that each of you, with your leadership and with the help of your members, both from the majority, and I'm proud to say the minority too, I understand they were active, and we welcome that from the beginning. You'll see that in almost all exceptions, in all budgets, they did very well. And we'll have a lot to discuss over the next week, but I think we're off to a great start to have a responsible and sustainable budget. This, I suspect, will take somewhere around an hour and a half, perhaps 2 hours, so your patience will be appreciated. We have the agencies here. If there are some questions, we'll be more than happy to ask them to come to the table. Of course, they've all been involved in their deliberations and our construction of this budget. Tomorrow, we will convene at 5:30 tomorrow to begin our statewide public testimony, and I'll announce this a couple of times, but 5:30 is Fairbanks and Matsu LIOs, Anchorage is 6 o'clock, 6:30 Glen Allen, Seward and Homer, and 7 o'clock Kenai, Kodiak, Dillingham. Then on Friday at 1 o'clock, 1 to 2:30, 1 will be Bethel, Nome, and Kotzebue, 1:30 Barrow-Toke, Delta Junction, 2 o'clock Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Petersburg, 2:30 Sitka, Cordova, and Valdez. We'll come back together at 1 o'clock on Saturday for statewide off-nets, and at 1:30 Juneau. And, of course, that schedule is flexible by who shows up and who doesn't show up. So we'll work to make sure that everybody is heard, and if I have to put some time constraints on it, that'll be understandable, but we'll make sure everybody that shows up will certainly be welcome and be able to talk to us about the operating budget on the Senate side. So with that, I'll announce that schedule a bit later. We're going to start today. Anything else come forth, committee, before we begin? Senator Dyson?
Yeah. I was a little confused at what point in this schedule will we be making any proposed amendments?
Oh, thank you. Monday.
Monday?
Monday, yes.
And when do you want those into you? I saw something like Saturday or something, and I
I know there's a date, let me get back to you. I'll go to my expanded memory. Expanded memory? James?
The deadline for amendments to our office or Senator Workman's office is 1 o'clock on Saturday.
Thank you. Okay, anything else come forth, committee? Let's begin. We're going to ask Senator Green to start. Ginger has a travel restriction here, so she has to go first. And with that, going to ask Senator Green to start. Not sure which one you're going to do first, but you have Hess, Transportation, Courts, and Corrections, if I'm not mistaken.
Let me begin with Hess, Mr. Chairman.
And if we just take a moment and everybody flip to your paper clip that's marked H.
Mr. Chairman, included in the paperclip information is certainly two spreadsheets and the several pages of very, very good analysis of everything that was included. If you'll turn to the...
Senator Green, get a little closer to that mic, if you will, please.
And if you'll turn to the typewritten language report that also includes some numbers, you'll find the things in there which were the subcommittee recommendation and those things that we approved, and some letters of intent, some intent language, and the things that we were able to fully fund. And in keeping with our goal of no backfill, no new programs, and all those things. If you turn to the spreadsheets and look to the far right numerical column, you'll see the things there that were not funded or were not funded in whole. In the first one, the first Senate Finance Subcommittee, you'll see the things that we did fund. You'll notice in the fuel utility increments section, in that column, we have lined out which fuel expenses and utility expenses are being referred to another bill that we will be handling in future. We worked and tried to handle all of the priorities that were presented in our discussion with the department. And with that, I'll let Ginger explain the change that we've made to the Senate CS. Has it been turned in?
Okay. For the record, my name is Ginger Blaisdell. I'm staff to Senator Green. There is only a minor change that was made from the point that the subcommittee closed out to the CS. That was a technical adjustment that showed up only in the Legislative Finance Division reports. It did not show up in the narrative or the spreadsheet that we made. It was $7,900, and it was a split of general fund mental health and some federal funds. So a technical adjustment only.
Mm-hmm. Just a change in fund source. That completes
and
our...
Is that... Oh, pardon me, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
That completes our report.
And Ginger, the changes you have are on this sheet. Is mm-hmm. that correct?
That's correct.
So these changes will, when we bring back the CS, amended CS, these will be included in the amended CS. Does everybody have, anyone want a copy of these? Did everybody get them?
No, I just made a copy for you and Senator Green.
Rose, if you, do we have copies that we could pass out? They're as technical as anything, but if you would, Rose, just for the record. Okay, Health and Social Services, any, I know this is a big budget to just take and digest all in one pass here, but of course we'll have time, and if there's things that people see and pop out, if you'll please get to me or to James or to Sheila, we'll bring those back to the table with specific questions, and of course Senator Green also. Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Chairman. On the frontline social workers, those were funded at 50% and waiting for rules. What does that imply?
Mm-hmm. The Rosales reversal?
Oh, the Rosales reversal.
Pardon?
Go ahead. Ginger, would you explain that? It's in the text.
Yeah. On the third page of the narrative, it describes just briefly the Rosales reversal is basically a court finding. It's going through the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And the reversal results in a cut to federal fund participation for foster care services. The determination is based on income eligibility of the child's home, including instances where the child is residing with another family. The department is still waiting for final ruling on that particular court hearing. The department has been paying foster care at the higher level, but it looks like we will be required to pay even more. So we've funded it halfway until the final ruling comes about.
And Mr. Chairman, do we know when that ruling might come? Do we have any indication?
I'm not sure.
Janet?
Mr. Chairman, just to note, there are, if you look down on that page, there are at least two other references to the Rosales reversal, which are impacting the loss of federal funds.
Janet?
For the record, Janet Clark, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Health and Social Services. Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, just to clarify a little bit of Ginger's explanation, actually, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in favor of the Western states and allowed states to claim more federal Title IV E funds for children in this situation. What occurred is in the Deficit Reduction Act, in that act, that's where they actually held us harmless on our Medicaid percentage. Congress rolled back that Ninth Circuit decision for the entire country. And so what we're waiting for is that the Deficit Reduction Act passed in early February, but the federal agency has not made rules yet on how they're going to enforce that new federal provision. So basically what it means, Mr. Chairman, is that we were claiming additional federal funds that no longer will be available at the level that we were claiming them, and we're waiting for the rules to figure out, you know, how much less we're going to be able to earn.
Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes.
Okay. Anything else from the committee members that jumps out? Thank you, Janet, for your help. Anything else that jumps out for today?
Mr. Chairman, I do have one thing to say, that in last year's budget process, Health and Social Services, you know, saw a pretty good increase last year. And we, that, as you know, we included all of that in this year's, plus salaries, plus presenters and certain other base things that we had fixed cost. And so I think it's a fairly generous offering we have for Health and Social Services this year.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Green. Anything else on health, education, social services? Okay. Let's then go. Ginger, which one would you like to do next? Senator Green?
Okay, we'll go to corrections.
Let's turn to corrections.
Ginger, I'll let you go ahead and do this one.
In the Department of Corrections, the change that's been made between the subcommittee closeout and what's being proposed to the Senate Finance Committee is that the Department of Corrections expressed a great concern about managing the overcrowded prisons in a safe manner. Because of the safety concerns for inmates, $693,300 in general funds has been added to out-of-state contractual. This increases the number of beds in Arizona from 868 to 900. Some savings are still achieved by not increasing the Arizona contract to the 1,000 beds as originally requested.
Ginger, is there anything on the budget itself that may deserve special notice for either a significant increase or decrease?
Probably the most significant change that was made to the corrections budget is on page 3 of the narrative. There's a description. It We reduced the Department of Corrections budget by $2,451,300 to close the Parkview Community Residential Center and relocate its residents to other community residential centers. There are two other residential centers that are in fairly close proximity to Parkview that could absorb some of the residents, and then they would also be able to use areas in the Matsu and other places to take these short-term residents.
Questions? Discussion on the corrections budget? Okay. Senator Hoffman?
Just who are the members of the subcommittee?
Senator Calgary, Senator Gary Stevens, and Senator Kim Elton.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
James?
In this budget, from the subcommittee closeout to the Senate CS, a request for $693,300 for the Florence, Arizona contract is included in the CS that's before you now. So that was an addition to the subcommittee action.
Okay, anything else on corrections? Okay. Senator Green?
Our last one is Department of Transportation. We went through and prioritized along with the department to the best of our ability, and have come in, you know, with very close to the numbers we were given, and thing that we really worked the hardest on, and which we as a committee and as a legislature will have to consider, continue to consider, is the marine highway system. And that was, with your help, funded at 89%. The increases were funded at 89%, which resulted in about a $2 million difference in what was requested and what we put through. There is great amounts, you know, set aside for rural airports, for maintaining funding, mitigate the fund or revenues, then operation costs for snow buildings and various things along the different highways. And we tried very hard to give a balance to the budget that would work for the department.
Ginger, anything to add?
James? There are some changes to the CS working with Senator Green and her staff. The oil and hazardous fund is used to displace general funds of $825,000 in central region and northern region. There was some reductions to the Anchorage Airport Administration totaling almost $400,000 in international airport funds, and a fuel inflation of marine highway funds of almost $4.2 million is added into the CS.
Okay. DOT, Senator Stedman?
Well, I was just gonna have, if could, just a little briefer or a couple more comments on the fuel adjustment, because I know it's of concern to a lot of people.
Embedded in this committee substitute is the mirror of what was done in the House. And James, can you flip to it there? And I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but there's a trigger, a tripwire, that we will look at on October 1st and April 1st at the price of ANS at that time. And depending on what the price is, up to $58.50, if I'm not mistaken. If it's $58.50 on October 1st or on April 1st, there'll be $12 million put for fuel, and there's an allocation across agencies. Maybe James can fill you in. Why don't you take it from there, talk about the allocation.
The trigger is located in the work draft on page 59, line 30. Is where it starts. It's section B of the section 20, and it continues on through Page 61, line 9, and it mirrors exactly to what the House did as far as fuel with the triggers. So members may want to review and discuss at a later time. So.
Any questions on that? All the fuel then is spread across the agencies by that formula. We'll get to that in a moment. We'll get to PCE. Any questions? Senator Stebbins, anything else on that?
No.
And the reason you ask, because, of course, it plays into the Marine Highway and,
correct,
their needs.
The concerns about the Marine Highway. And then all across the state, we've been struggling this year with fuel adjustments, and it doesn't look like fuel prices are going down anytime soon from the other presentations we've had.
Yeah. It seems a way to balance the recognition of increased fuel and the fact that we may not need it. Probably will, and I think we're prepared to pay it. So, and we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to PCE. Let's see. Regarding the Marine Highway System, it is funded at 89% of their requests. That's going to reduce some cross-Gulf traffic. And I think all of us share the thought, and we'll explore it before we leave this session, of having this committee, or at least this legislature, participate in, if I could use the model set forth by Senator Gary Stevens, an oversight for the Marine Highway System. I think a lot of us, certainly I am concerned, that we may come back next year and have expanded service and expanded costs that we really didn't expect. And if we are going to literally and figuratively turn this boat around, it probably needs to be a collaborative effort between the legislature and the Marine Highway System, because my opinion, and I think many agree, that whisper in my ear, that this system is in demise and something has to happen to change its course. So we'll explore that more as we work through the budget and work into other things. So give that some thought, committee. I know some of you have taken that suggestion and made that suggestion as necessary and for an interim project. So anything else on the DOT? Okay. Let's see. And I think that's it, isn't it?
Courts budget.
Courts, courts, yes.
Courts.
The back.
Survey of courts.
Next to the last paperclip.
Alphabetically, yeah, under Alaska courts.
Yeah. You're right.
Last paperclip.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Green?
Yes. Thank you. The, in the type, language, the written report, you'll see a listing of those things that we are recommending that be funded, and goes to the life cycle replacement of computer systems, increased utility cost, and upgrade positions due to increased caseloads in second, third, and fourth districts. There's a therapeutic courts coordinator. Again, the increased cost around the state in just keeping courthouses going is an issue, and software, and again, we're asking that judicial branch work with the Office of Management and Budget in order to bring the missions and measures into compliance as requested last year. We're still somewhat out of sync with the offerings on missions and measures.
Ginger, anything to add?
Through the chair, the only thing that I would add is that if you look at the governor's budget request, some of the increments that were requested are written slightly different than the increments you see that the subcommittee passed. And the court system did provide us with a priority list where some of the governor's increments are broken out into specific items. And we funded their budget by the court's priority list.
Okay, thank you. Questions, comments on courts? Senator Bundy.
Just a general question, Mr. Chairman. I noticed, I think Hess was the PERS and TERS cost increase was $3.5 million. This is $1.5 million. It would be interesting to me if we could just have a total of the PERS and TERS cost overrun that we are making up from the broken former system, because I at least weekly get comments from people that we have to go back to the old broken system, or we should delay the implementation of the new system. And I'd really like to have the total cost that the old system is the total impact on this year's budget from the old system.
Correct me if I'm wrong, is it $105 million?
That's right, like that.
105, okay.
That may include education.
All. Munis, state, first
grade. That includes education.
Plus or minus $105 million, Senator Bundy? Is that close enough?
That's close enough to convince me we ought not to go back.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah. Senator Stedman?
I think, just without reviewing the numbers, but that number 105, that's this year's incremental increase, is that correct?
Uh-huh.
And it still leaves us 205 roughly short, I think, for the actuary wants us to be, for the municipalities, the schools, and the state. And that's a subject for another day over the next few weeks if we want to try to deal with that. But, yeah, we still have... We're still not even up to the proper contribution amount yet, although we're increasing every year, trying to catch up to it.
So to get to where the actuarials want us under the Tier 1, 2, and 3 system, it's 105 plus 200 and some.
Yeah.
It's over $300 million to get up to where we actuarially should be.
Correct, this year. Yeah.
Thanks for adding that in. Not sure we really wanted to know that, but thank you. Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the health, life, safety issue, where did the additional security that was requested for the Bethel Courthouse fall in this budget? I don't think it was funded, and where was it ranked by the courthouse? It is a health, life, safety issue.
Senator Hoffman, through the chair. I don't have the courthouse's ranking with me right here, but I don't believe there was a separate item just for security for the Bethel Courthouse.
Yeah, I'll check on that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Right.
We do reflect the Bethel lease cost increase.
I see that in there. Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other questions on the court system? It probably deserves mention, and well, it certainly deserves mention, through all these budgets, we have funded all the fixed costs, the salary increases, the PERS and TERS, the health costs, the risk management. All those have been those we have called, classified as fixed costs, and they're a significant part of the total increase of the budget, about half, if I remember. So while we don't talk about those today, they certainly should be recognized that... I've been around here in times that those weren't just accepted and have been part of the efforts to align revenues with costs. But so every budget funds the governor's request without exception. Is that correct, James? Okay, Senator Green and Ginger, thank you very much for your presentations. And Ginger, have fun. I thought I'd get myself out of the way here. Let's start with environmental conservation. The DEC budget Governor asked for $17.954 million. We funded it at $16.193. Significant events. There was a request for 13 people to start the primacy, us to assume primacy from the federal government for our drinking water. And we funded that at five positions and over a three-year period intend to assume that primacy from the federal government. The 470 fund is quickly running out, and we hope that the PPT legislation with what's being considered the nickel and a penny will start to replenish that. But for now, we got through FY07 with using commercial vehicle compliance fund, so that is that's completely funded by using other fund sources, and we expect we'll be back to the traditional, as we used to know it, 470 split nickel fund starting in FY08. And I think those are the significant parts. James, you helped me with this budget. Anything else that's stuck out in this budget?
As far as the IM maintenance program, we followed through on the intent of last year.
Oh, thank you.
For the last year, it was brought to our attention that the IM maintenance program, or the IM maintenance model, needed maintenance care to the tune of $295,000. To help them with their IM enforcement efforts, because CMAQ funding for the program had gone away after 3 years. We funded it fully last year with some IA receipt authority from the Department of Administration, and in a letter written by Senator Wilkins said that half of that funding would go away this year, and half of that funding has gone away this year. It's only funded at $147,700.
So Anchorage and Fairbanks, that's the only two that it affects, is it not, James?
Correct.
So you may hear from your community about the state pulling away from helping fund their IM programs. It was clearly intended in 03 for CMAQ money to start it, and then we gave them a year's notice that we would start to assign that responsibility to local government. Anything else, James? And Senator Bundy?
Yeah. Is that a state mandate, or are these federal mandates?
Well, I believe it's a federal mandate. James, do you know, or can I ask?
It was funded at AMATS, surprisingly enough, when I was working at AMATS, and it has a three-year window of federal funding to start these programs, and after 3 years, that portion of it goes away. So they needed a crutch last year to get them through, and they hopefully are looking forward to going away from the IM program since the cars are newer and cleaner. So in our letter, we asked the local municipalities, Anchorage and Fairbanks, to help pick up the $147,000.
Mr. Bundy?
Mr. Chairman, that was the thrust of my question. Do the cities have the option of reducing or eliminating the requirement for IM tests now?
Not at this time. They would have to revisit their statewide air improvement program and have EPA sign off on whether they could eliminate the cleaner cars at this point right now, and they don't think they have that sign off from EPA.
So in effect, it's a state mandate.
Well, in effect, it's a federal mandate, and they use CMAQ funds, which had a small window of existence to fund the program.
Other questions on DEC? Okay, thank you. Let's turn to the Department of Education Early Development. Fully funded the fixed costs, of course, and this budget anticipates and reflects that embodied in other legislation is the $90 million increase to K-12. So this reflects that and is included in the totals, although it's not included as a line item, which mirrors the House. And so in that particular foundation program, the House and the Senate are exactly the same. Let's see, significant items. You, of course, know there was a great deal of concern and discussion about the mentoring program that has worked so well, and the federal funding has fallen away. We've been able to fund that with $600,000 from interagencies receipts from the Department of Education and $1.9 million from Alaska Student Loan Dividend for a $2.5 million. That is still in play, and we may see before this budget closes out some additional contributions. This will enable them to have a mentoring program for teachers, which last year was approximately $4 million. So if the 2.5 stands, they'll have to pull back the program and will not do the mentoring for principals, which was about $1 million. The Alaska Youth Academy deserves some discussion. Two things. We funded the governor's request. But in this, as you remember, in 2003, some years ago, we linked the academy to the foundation formula, and with the hope that we could stabilize that funding. With the increase in the student dollar, their costs don't increase at the same rate as school districts. So we've done quite a bit of work with John at DMVA, and we're going to work over the interim to try to get some alignment between their needs and the funding. As the student dollar has gone up, of course, their funding has gone up at a like rate, but their costs, there's some discussion. And we're going to work on that over the interim. And I just put that on the table just because I think we'll talk some more about it. It may even need some statute changes, and I think the department knows that perhaps that's where we'll be next year. There was a $289,000 decrement due to a change in a true-up of their students, but that's just part of the normal operation at the academy. I think other than that, the rest of it is pretty status quo. A small increase $9,000 Council of the Arts, and we funded the rest of the governor's request. Senator Bundy?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Refer you to the page 3, the WAMI Medical Education. That's a program that's run through the university. I'm wondering why it's in the Department of Education.
I don't know why it's an education piece.
Yeah, I would.
Eddie, can you help us? My quick answer is because it's there. I don't know why. You never asked the question.
Well, maybe dodging because it's a very expensive program.
Yes. Eddie?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name's Eddie Jeans. I'm the director of school finance. Actually, the WAMI program is a contract that's administered through the post-secondary commission. And that's why it's in our budget, because post-secondary is in our budget.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, in the university budget, it's about $800,000 for the 10 students or so that do participate. And so this is just additional funding for administering the contract?
Eddie?
Mr. Chairman, I'd have to get back to you on that.
Okay. All right, if you'll just give us a call and tell us what that does.
I'd be happy to.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it's $800,000, 10 students. You could send them to the University of Washington directly for about $30,000 a student. But as I understand, they have to be in Alaska, so they'll bond with Alaska. Of course, they
Eddie,
are.
Just let us, give us that
Alaska
information.
Alaska residents.
Yeah. And our state is crying for doctors. So thank you, Eddie. Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the statewide mentoring program, how many positions was that originally at the $5 million? And is that reduction in number reflected in the total number of positions, or is that just contracted dollars?
I don't know the number, Sheila, do you remember? It is all contracted, both with current and, I don't know if retired, but inactive teachers and principals. I don't remember the number, do you remember? What was it? About 30 people.
And then, Mr. Chairman, how is the department going to administer that from the original plan statewide? Was there a way they were going to get to that allocation? How is that allocation going to be?
Eddie, can you help us?
Again, Mr. Chairman, Eddie Jeans, Director of School of Finance. We'll have to scale back the program, and it's in districts apply to participate in the program. So we haven't figured all those details out yet, but depending on the funding level, we'll work through it.
Mr. Chairman.
And there may be still a funding piece out there that will perhaps get us back. It won't be to the five, but it may be to get to where we can keep the teachers' mentoring program going. Senator Green?
Yeah. Is there a method by which a local school district could participate in paying for the mentor?
Through the chair, Senator Green, we've had that discussion at this table. Right now, they're in the subcommittee.
Okay, thank you.
But we have not come up with a plan as to having school districts pay to participate in that program.
Senator Green, that is an option and should remain an option.
It should be encouraged.
And encouraged.
Mm-hmm. I would suggest we come up with that system.
Senator Bundy?
Yes, there's lots of ideas about having local districts.
A little closer.
Lots of ideas about having local districts help, but I'm looking here at the governor had requested an 18.4% increase. The budget is presented here as a 15% increase, and you had some numbers a while back. With this 15% increase over the past 4 years, then we've increased the education funding by about 30%. Is that correct?
38% since 1999. Eddie, is that pretty close?
Mr. Chairman, you talking about the increase in the base student allocation?
$2,
yeah, 33% with the governor's request.
So, but you didn't cover the full governor's request, so it's only about 30%.
I haven't run the numbers, but obviously
well,
a little less.
3% less, according to this. So.
The big difference here, of course, is the change in the mentoring program.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Other questions on education early development? Okay. Thank you, Eddie, for your
thank
help.
Thank you.
Let's see. University. Let's see. University is fully funded. Their fixed costs. And let's see if I can get a summary. The governor, it's probably best to do this from a summary standpoint. The governor asked for a $41.7 million increase to the university. Of that, there was about $19 million of that was for fixed costs, which we've paid. And then the rest left about $22 million for an increase. This budget funds of the $22 million funds at a level of 15. James, can you help me? 15,200,000. Is that what it is?
Correct.
Okay. We didn't fund the scholars program. We went through and spread reductions across the line items that the university gave us, and we also went and reduced three program statewide services. We reduced competitive research investment, and we reduced both in Anchorage and in Fairbanks competitive research and Juneau. So we took some out of the money we used to leverage research. And let's see, for a total reduction from the governor of $7.4 million. James?
And fuel was also denied through the chair, $2 million.
Okay. And, okay, questions on university? Yes, Senator Stedman?
Yes, on occasion, Mr. Chairman, we get into lively debate at the table on particular issues. I just want to make a few points on this budget. I haven't had time to, I'm pretty familiar with the layout here and what's in it, but I just want to make a few comments. The university presented their fixed costs at $29.9 million, and the governor and Ledge Finance put their fixed costs at $26.7 million. That's a $3.27 million difference. All salary increments are included in the governor's budget. And the, as we know, the subcommittee that never finished had a little different number, and we'll deal with that another night. But the subcommittee is working under the guidance of no program expansions and no new programs, watch out for federal backfill, and no excessive headcount increase. And I don't know what's going, you know, I haven't had time to look at the headcount change here, but the university budget requested 103 new positions, a 2.5% change over the 06 base, which we never got to the other day. And the governor, got the governor's request included $10 million in funding for new programs, $3.6 million less than the government governor wanted. I got to go in and check that, but I'll go ahead and read through this, and then but I think we all sitting here support the university and the direction that the university is heading and trying to respond to our upcoming large capital projects and gearing up our workforce and improving the university. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks. Thank you, Senator Stedman. Okay, anything else on the university? Okay, and I think that's my piece of the pie. Let's go to Senator Dyson. Senator Dyson, if you would.
Yeah, thank you. You may have to bear with me a bit. I've been a bit distracted the last few days.
Join the club.
Lucky, do you want to over and sit here? I'm going to work off the documents that the subcommittee worked off of because I'm more familiar with those than what's in the CS. We'll take first public safety. We, as at the chair's direction, did not give the fuel increments, knowing that that would come back at us for in a as the chair has already discussed. The village public safety officer, VPSOs and the VPSA, we found in the midst of our discussions that that the department apparently has been doing a yeoman's job of trying to recruit and train and retain folks, but indeed has not been able to fill the vacancies or the training slots, and had some $4 million in federal funds for the VPSO program that have not been utilized, and the last 3 years have lapsed some $1.5 million in state general funds for the VPSO program. So we worked with the department and found out that those federal funds are applicable to the upcoming 07 budget to fill the needs for all the VPSO positions and training and so on, including the raises that we all authorized here a year or two ago. So we denied the GF component of that, knowing that that would be fine, that they would be fine and able to continue. We felt that the Public Safety Information Network, ASPIN, is very important, and we agreed to fund that. Similarly, with the criminal records request, and we understand from the director that there's, as we speak, that the federal Burns Justice Assistant Grant, Justice Assistant Grant, JAG funds, is likely to be available for them, and so we agreed that with the director that funding would be available. The and we agreed to fund the troopers who are involved in the court system And these are the guys that are transporting and some for the security there. So we agreed to fund that. A significant one that may require some more discussion later on, but it's the Council on Domestic Violence, and we understood that they were anticipating $1 million in TANF funds, and that was going to help. And the subcommittee recommended authorizing them to receive those funds. And the director also told us that there's a very good chance that $5 million in federal funds is likely to be available to them towards the end of this calendar year. So that'd be fall of 06. So that in mind, let's see. Lucky, help me out here. We did not authorize all that they were requesting of GF. Is that correct?
For the record, Lucky Schultz, staff to Senator Dyson, and that, yes, sir, that is correct. For the CDBSA, because of the incoming federal money that we're anticipating, we recommend we reduce the state GF by $500,000. That leaves a considerable amount of state funding, but with the $5 million coming in federal funding by the end of the year, that should be more than adequate.
And thank you. And we were under the impression that the shelter in Kotzebue was kind of a new addition to this department's responsibilities, and there's work afoot to get that funding from a different source a year or so out from now. And so we recommended that the department reallocate funds for their $250,000 to keep that going and prospering during this transition zone. And it was my impression from the director that they felt like they could easily do it. But we emphasized that keeping that excellent, what we hear, program going was a priority, and the director, the commissioner, agreed with the changes that we had made in his budget.
Questions? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Bundy or Lucky Schultz, I'm not sure who to go ahead and address the question to. Do you think there's going to be enough to go ahead and keep the doors open for the Kotzebue Women's Shelter?
I'd be delighted to have Senator Bundy answer that.
Sorry, I didn't hear the question.
And he was insulted. I was complimented.
Was he?
Yes, they absolutely.
And the other question I have is that if we're trying not to, or if the mandate was not to have new programs, and we have the VSA program out there, how do you justify a new program?
I would suggest you sit down with the commissioner on that, but he made a good case that this is not, and this is trying one more, a different way to put some level of public safety officers in villages that is not working now, and another way to try to fill those vacancies and put a presence in those villages. And so it's still part of this whole effort to have public safety officers available in rural communities. And it's, you can argue whether it's a new program. It's certainly a new approach at the same goal, as I understood from the commissioner.
And the last question, Mr. Chairman, if I could, if this funding is supposed to mirror what happened in the House, I guess I don't see that in relation to the Kotzebue Women's Shelter.
Yeah, and we certainly had no orders to mirror what they were doing in the House. And those differences in the funding sources and so on will be undoubtedly worked out in conference.
So how does that relate to the base GF? Is there any effect on it?
Well, certainly the budget that we reported out of our subcommittee had less GF than the House's, as I recollect.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Huffman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I would disagree with the way that we're dealing with the reduction to the VPSO program. I think there's other ways that we can address the turnover, you know, and I've discussed this with the chairman. You know, I think that concentrating on high school students graduating and moving them into areas in the communities, I think the salary, even though that it has been adjusted, is still low. Those, some of those lapse funds could have went to try to increase those salaries so we have a higher retention not of existing VPSOs, and I would disagree, I think, in many people that are living in communities like Nunamiqua that had severe public safety problems, and I think everyone at the table is well aware of that. I don't think that the people of Nunamiqua would say that this is moving in the right direction.
Thank you. Senator Green?
I have two items. One is on the Kotzebue shelter. When I was called last summer and agreed to the inclusion in our budget, I said that would be for 1 year only, and after that it would go under the auspices of what all other shelters go under. It would not be listed separately, and it would be included in that line item where all other shelters are. And secondly, on the use of TANF funds, there's sort of been a situation. Previously, the state of Alaska has had just major contributions in TANF funds come to our state.
TANF, Senator Green, for the folks.
Temporary assistance to needy families.
Federal money.
Mm-hmm. And that was a program that was so named after welfare reform. And we received a great number of high performance bonuses because we were such a high achieving state and our rate of welfare participants went down really wonderfully. And so every year we would receive a high performance bonus because we had exceeded our goals for reduction to the next year. And in that same Deficit Reduction Act, the signed into law last month, which reauthorized TANF but eliminated funding for further high performance bonuses. It is currently being reviewed as to our status right now. And if we did not reach that status in or sort of a retroactive review, we will have to refund the federal government because we are not having further performance level reductions. So TANF funds aren't being used this year. And so the fund source on the CDBSA would be at risk. Just a consideration.
All right. James, you make note of that. Let's chase that problem. James, did you have something in response to that?
No.
Okay. Senator Olson?
Senator Green, what kind of amount of money are we talking about, just so I can keep it in perspective?
For TANF?
For TANF.
The current balance is $4,380,000, and it could easily be, you know, in the millions.
And what are we in jeopardy of?
If we return that money to the feds, and it will not be able, because we've used it in a variety of legitimate increments over the past few years, and they've given us quite a bit of flexibility, but that, you know, we can't use that pot of money for those things until we find out what the return to the feds will be, and that will be not just this year, but next year, if we don't again meet high performance status.
Okay.
Thank you. And as lower our numbers get, it's harder to reach a percentage decrease.
Okay. Other discussion on admin? I should say, yes, James?
On public safety. One note in the committee substitutes. In the House version of the bill, they provided funding to backfill the burn grants in the language section. The subcommittee also funded it on our side in the number section, so it's double counted in this bill, and we'll have an amendment that will take out one of the other.
Thanks for catching that.
All right, other discussion? Okay, thank you. Senator Dyson, next, admin or...
We'll do Military and Veterans Affairs.
The MBA.
Roger. And fairly similar, we did come to agreement with the department, and we funded it at $1.5 million and change, lower than what the governor requested. We also, in this one, did not deal with the fuel issue, believing that was a separate issue that the chairman has already spoke to. And also, we did not fund the local emergency planning committees, which the commissioner feels are very important, but we all understand will hopefully be funded out of the 470 funds that we're working on. And we did not fund the $25,000 for educational benefits. We've had some conversations with the university about perhaps allowing guardsmen to have free tuition. There's some discussion about that, and there's also an ongoing discussion about whether or not all of the guardsmen who are would like to continue their education are using all their GI Bill funds. And at this point, we didn't feel comfortable with funding it. And we also put $122,000, I think, $122,500 in the office of the commissioner, because they're going to have all the adjutant generals of the country here for a conference in June 07, and he wanted the money to begin that process, but indeed the receipts from that will far and exceed the $122,500, and we recommended that when they do, that money be replenished, and excess funds beyond that either go to their offsetting supplementals or be relapsed to the general fund. So that's it. And the department was comfortable with what we did.
Questions on DMVA? Lucky, anything to add?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Senator Dyson, admin?
Yeah, thank you. Ultimately, the general fund, we were about $5.7 million below the governor's request. Let's see. Maybe you're lucky, you'd give me a break here and explain a little bit what we did while I'm trying to catch up.
The under the office of the commissioner, there's $3,557,000 for enterprise technology services that we understand is going to be addressed in the language section, and we did not address that. Under labor relations, the department had requested an extra $200,000 to cover lost CIP funding. The CIP funding for labor negotiations has dwindled, and they see an increase in arbitrations and arbitration costs. They'd asked for an extra $200,000 to address that, and then another $112,000 just because the expenses of those arbitrations are going to grow. We approved $56,000 of the total amount requested. We don't believe that the costs are going to be as great as they anticipated, and I think they agreed with that. The department also requested a little over $2 million for the PERS and TERS program, part of which was to educate state employees about the new SB 141. Ledge Finance advised that there was money last year in the bill for that education. We denied that. However, there is a mandate for them to match any funds that an employee converting to the new program takes money and puts into the new program. They, the state cannot take money out of the old program and match it. So they have to match with new money. And I believe the House has recommended that they be given authority to match up to whatever amount, and we're requesting the conference committee to resolve that language issue. But they have to have sufficient money to match when the employees convert to the new program. Under the non-public building facilities, there were two requests, one for $112,200, because the department has not been able to collect on interagency receipts. Last session, the legislature asked that the non-public buildings begin asking for their own general funds, and that through interagency transfers pay for maintenance and other operations of those facilities. That gives the non-public buildings staff more accountability for maintaining those buildings. Unfortunately, apparently they never requested that money, and when department administration tried to get the interagency receipts, they were told, sorry, we don't have it, and so the department ate it. So this year they've asked for general funds to cover both the increases in cost and the amount they think the cost would be for the repairs and maintenance this year. We denied the amount. We think the non-public buildings ought to be asking for the general funds so they have some accountability for maintenance in their facilities rather than just having a free service provided to them. So we denied that and going to push it back to non-public buildings. The Enterprise Technology Services, the department asked for just under $1.8 million. Of that, $1.7 million is required for federal matching. We we're recommending $1.7 million so they get all of that federal matching. The Alamar contract, the Alaska Land Mobile Radio contract, has been turned over to Department Administration from Department of Military and Veterans Affairs to administer now. And we have also recommended reducing the general funding for that operations and maintenance of Alamar by $63,100 on the contention that it's not going to be as expensive to administer it as it was to construct and build, and the extra cost to administer the project in the construction phase.
Senator Dyson? Yeah, and one of the many things I admire about the commissioner of this department is he appears to be trying to bring real integrity to the budgeting process and wants to not be funding major portions of his operation in the supplemental budget. And he feels strongly, as I do, that having public defenders and staffing the Office of Public Assistance is not only a constitutional requirement for us as the government, but also a high priority, so that when indigent folks are caught up in the legal justice system or in danger of losing their children by the state taking custody or and so on, that folks have legal help in defending themselves in what can often be a bewildering system. So we agreed to the first of the two increments that the department and the governor asked for to increase the funding for public defenders and Office of Public Assistance. We denied the second one. But in order then to, and as he says, and I think rightly, they can't control the number of clients they have. It's whoever comes through the door and meets their screening process. They've got to serve them. And it appeared to us that some of the steps they've been doing to get more of that done by folks in-house rather than far more expensive contract help has been an efficient way to go. But in order then to meet our targets, we took a pretty big whack out of the public broadcasting service, and in meetings with you, Mr. Chairman, I think we've come to agreement that and I think it's reflected in the CS, that we are going to fully fund public radio and maybe take away about 25% of their request for general fund, but that's still out of a budget of something like $18 million total. I think our reduction will be less than $200,000 out of their total budget. And so that really hits the highlights of what we did on the administrative budget.
Thank you, Senator Dyson. If I could just follow up, Senator Hoffman, before I call on you. We have had numerous discussions with Senator Dyson, myself, and the department through him. And so what we've done, it is an issue of priorities, and I appreciate Senator Dyson's priority. It was difficult to deny the increase, but we still respected the fact that OPA and PD are trying to do what they can, and so we funded them at the $2.55 million level. But we had to find that money from somewhere, because I thought it was a priority to fund public radio and, to some extent, public television. So we've done that, and in this, it's not reflected in the CS, but it will be when we bring it back for you folks. You'll see a $1,052,200 increase to public broadcasting. That's 75% of television and 100% of radio. That money was found in the department through the ETS chargebacks and through the enterprise technology, which is essentially the VoIP program. And that those two line items contributed to keep the funding for OPA PD and replace the funding for public radio and television. I might just make an editorial comment for future people at this table. It's my impression that there's a great deal of support for public radio in the state, but I would also say that each year there seems to be less support for public television, and people that talk to me question the relevance or perhaps the need for public television. So I just say that publicly so that if I or people that talk to me are wrong, I think that the folks that control public television right now may want to take a look at this 25% reduction as a harbinger for future legislators and serve notice that I think they may need to want to change some people's opinion about public television. So I offer that up as constructive criticism and perhaps as a warning, a notice of things to come. Let's see, I think that's all there was for that. Senator Hoffman and then Senator Sedman. Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With that action, I believe that that will greatly reduce the amount of public comments that we're going to be having tomorrow night and the following day on our budget. But what would be the total reduction to public TV, the 25%? Do you have a dollar figure?
Yes, we had a change. You have it handy there. It puts back $470,300, and it restores in television, and it restores $582,900 in public radio. So, James, do you have the difference that made up the?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, it's about $165,000,
$170,000. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Plus or minus, okay. Senator Stedman?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Public radio, and I'm a little bit more familiar in Southeast than out in Western Alaska, but in Southeast, it's pretty popular. There's many places in Southeast where there is no radio reception other than public radio, and it's very well received around Southeast, so it's certainly going to be appreciated to get this ad back in. And as far as public television, I hope that we will look favorably on supporting public television. I'd hate to see the day when I miss my Saturday morning fix of Yankee Workshop.
Reminds you your Yankee contribution for that.
Senator Dyson, or no, Senator Green, then Senator Dyson.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if, in the Department of Law, if we are listening carefully, if we will see a corresponding increase to the prosecuting attorneys who will be dealing with the increase for OPA and public.
Good questions.
The other side is
Senator Dyson?
I was just going to, my understanding is that the most popular public television programs in rural Alaska are Antique Roadshow and This Old House. And I don't know what that says, but it would seem to me probably fun but not valuable and so on. And so anyways.
Senator Bundy?
Yeah, just for Lucky or James, whoever, constant irritation with EPORs, how many people are left in that self-serving pork barrel?
Which self-serving pork barrel?
EPORs.
I'm not sure. I had a conversation with one that just is qualifying this year. So I'm not, so he's 57.
57 people.
No, he's 57.
He's 57 years old.
Senator Bundy, would you like a rundown for your office?
Well, yeah, I mean, $284,000 for that short-term special benefit that a few people voted in. It would be interesting to know how many are still alive and what their names and.
That was then, and now is now. So, let's see other things on the administration. Senator Olson,
Mr. Chairman. Going back to the public radio and public TV, you know, I'm a Woodwright shop man myself, but I think you know, more from a serious standpoint, with all due respect to Senator Dyson, the most popular thing that I've seen out there with public television has been the weather depictions that are out there with the synopsis, where you got the highs and the lows, and those people that either don't believe in or are very skeptical of some of the radio reports out there, they can at least draw their own conclusions by where they're seeing the highs and the lows and their different fronts that are out there. And that by far has been the most popular segment that I see families use, and fishermen and pilots for that matter, as far as what's going on. So I certainly want to put my plug in for that. And I'm a little, going back to on that same subject, I'm a little confused as to, I see them being cut to 1.2 million on the colored paper that's at the front of the administration's budget. And you're saying we're restoring?
Oh, thank you. The Senate does not fund $125,000 for the Public Radio and Television Broadcasting Commission.
The House does.
The House does. The Senate does not. Thank you, Senator Green.
Thank you. Okay, thanks.
That's the difference. Thank you. James?
Just for the record, the changes, the restoration of 75% to 100% is reflected in the committee substitute before you.
Oh, it is in there now. Okay, thank you. Anything else on Department Administration? There's some of these budgets, as we all know, some are relatively easy and some are relatively hard. This is one of the relatively hard ones. So thank you, Senator Dyson. Thank you, Lucky. I should note for you folks, and been reminded that all of these sheets, all of the summary sheets, are now on the web. So if you or anyone else wants to go to Ledge Finance website, these are up for the world to see. Let's see. Let's go to Senator Bundy.
We can start with DNR, Mr. Chairman.
DNR.
As you. So, as you so deftly noted, we have our extended memory here, Lynn Smith, who is finance staff, will go through the changes for the committee.
Okay. Lynn, welcome.
Thank you.
Good evening. Go right ahead, please.
Lynn Smith, staff to Senator Bundy. I was all set this year with percentages and changes in staff. And, of course, I'm not going to go into any of that now. Some of the major changes that we did for DNR was give about $1.2 million for more oil and gas development between keeping a staff in the commissioner's office, and also more line or money for increased workload for the oil and gas development for the gas line. Another thing, the governor had requested over $1 million for the park system. Within our subcommittee, we were able to give them $500,400. And also, in a way to try to assist them, we moved the Historic Preservation Program, Parks Management, and Parks and Recreation Access allocations into the resource development, so that they might have a chance, if there's any extra money somewhere in resource development, that they might be able to use that to help the parks in their problems. Those were the major GF changes that we did.
Okay. Thank you, Lynn. Questions on DNR?
Well, Mr. Chairman, we did work with the department and tried to work with their priorities and within the guidance that you had given and the sideboards you had put on the budget, and I think this report does reflect their priorities.
Senator Stebbins?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Parks, support for park operations. Could we get a little more information on that? It's a rather sensitive subject in my district as far as the handling and the direction of state parks. Handling meaning lack of maintenance, and direction meaning potential charges. So I'm just kind of curious if there's any comments or further information.
They wanted more money than we could give them. And there are a number of us that think that there's a lot of wilderness in Alaska that doesn't take much maintenance. That is as much as we felt we could give them.
I got the information I wanted, right?
Oh, okay.
The trusty chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other questions on DNR? Okay. All right, thank you, Lynn. Senator Bundy, now let's go to
Department of Labor.
Senator Bundy or Lynn?
Again, Mr. Chairman, working within your guidelines, tried to address the priorities of the Department of Labor. I have a strong personal concern about their developing our workforce and reaching out to fill some of those needs for the vast majority of our young people who do not go on to college or complete college. So there was some hopes we could help in that area as well. So then I'll turn it over to Lynn.
Lynn?
And the other change is, this is one of the three budgets you talked about that had some changes in it. We'd put $300,000 for Alaska's Youth First program, which is a new program. And so that money was in our subcommittee report, but it's not in the Senate CS. And from what I understand, the department will be able to come and speak to that in front of the full committee.
Yes, that's correct. We're going to invite them to come and talk to us about that new program. Anything else on labor? All right. Thank you, Senator Bundy and Lynn. And the last is?
That would be Fish and Game.
Fish and Game.
Again, an area that where I have some personal interest and would like to see them flourish. Tried to address their needs and as best I could divine their priorities. And with the limitations, ignoring some of the limitations you'd put on me, but I could only ignore them for so long. So here we are with my modified report.
And again, this is the second of our departments that has some changes from our our committee suggestions to the CS. We had $1,330,700 in wildlife conservation for big game management and research. And I understand that, again, the department will be able to come and talk about that to the full committee.
Yes, so in the CS, there is not $1,330,700 for big game management new program. So we're going to ask them to come, and it'll be up to the committee if you think it's worthy of funding. We should have a discussion about that before we start that program. So we'll do that. We'll do that next day or two. Let's see, what else on fishing game? Anything else?
Well, I did want to acknowledge that you allowed the salary adjustments for sport fishing. That was helpful in meeting our goals.
Senator Stepman?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to make a comment on that, too. It is appreciated because in that department, as we know, there's been this new federal entity that's came in several years ago that has had several of the key employees out of Fish and Game drift over to the federal side, and we need to stay competitive so we keep that department staffed with qualified people.
Other discussion on Fish and Game? Seeing none. Lynn, thank you for your help. Senator Bundy, thank you. And Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Which one do you want first?
Well, I'll just go through revenue, then law, then commerce. I got them there. Just kind of in that order, right?
Alphabetical order.
We got three easy budgets, all without mutiny. Everything ran really nice and smooth. There was a couple fund source changes, but let me just run down revenue. We made a few changes on fund sources, replacing business license receipts with general fund. Really, the only items that stick out here in revenue is there was an accepted increment increase by the recommendation by the government for the state investment officer salary adjustments. And that, again, is to stay competitive with the marketplace. The incremental increase here on the bottom of 19%, the 19% change, the governor had a 7.8 for the department, reflects mainly that fund source change, which is picked up in one of the other budgets we're going to come to. So I just wanted to point that out because, you know, that is a very large change. And as we know, and has been mentioned in another meeting today, that I think our break-even oil price rate now is $49. And so that incremental increase is definitely noticeable. But that was a very quiet budget. There was really nothing in there other than a few slight adjustments.
Thanks, Senator Sims. Senator Dyson.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe I missed something here. I'm looking at the last page. If I'm reading this correct, the budget the governor wanted was a 7.8 increase, and the one the subcommittee approved was a 19% increase in general funds?
Correct. That is due to the fund source change, which will show up here in a minute as a reduction in another budget.
I'm sorry you said that and I missed it. All right.
Yeah, because it is alarming. The real change after the things get washed out is about a 7.7, but general fund incremental change, but the way it's measured here when we put everything together. So and the goal here again was as to try to keep, as we all know, the backfills down and the new headcount down. And over at the, there's another questions, the Department of Law, again, that was another very quiet one, although we did have.
Are we done with revenue?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions or comments on revenue?
Okay. At the Department of Law, to meet the goals, we That incremental change was 5.2, and the governor came, you know, his request was 7.3. As we know that there's issues around the state with our meth labs and related society ills that we're trying to cure here, and we're expanding our court system and our judges, and this is what is reflected in this budget here with judges in the 3rd Judicial District in Anchorage and the 4th Judicial District, and also outside Anchorage in the 3rd Judicial District. And there was some federal funding for drug enforcement prosecution. We were replaced with interagent receipts. I know in our goals here are not to, and be very careful of, backfilling federal abandonment of programs. And I just thought I'd point that out, that there was some lost federal funding here for drug enforcement prosecution, and we try to deal with it here. There are just some things that you know, I feel we have to do. On the second page, there was a decrement in the oil and gas area of $74,000. It's a reduction in cost. Again, that's dealing with some of the legal issues that the Department of Law is facing with the proposed gas line, and they feel that they had enough funding in place to deal with it. So that wasn't shorting that particular issue. It was adjustment that they recommended that we do, which I think is nice rather than burying it in their system. And that's about all. Again, the most difficult thing of dealing with their budget this year was dealing with the drug issue, and we've dealt with that for many facets at this table, and I had to come back to that a couple times to try to get that allocated to have the you know, the best bang for our buck and the minimum impact. And clearly, you know, these monies are targeted for Anchorage and the Mat-Su area, because that is where the department's having the most challenge in the state. And hopefully it won't spill over into other areas.
This was, that was good work. That it was 3 years of federal funding for 3 DEA agents, correct? Mm-hmm. And the federal funding just stopped, and we knew it was going to stop 3 years ago. So here we are, faced with, are we or aren't we? And I think all of us agreed that we are. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Senator Stedman, for making that happen, for the department's helping with that. Other comments on Department of Law? James?
In the, you may, Senator Wilkin, remember back to the Fast Track had $5.4 million for oil and gas work spread out over 06 and 07. Senate Bill 232 funds $3.9 million of that effort. In the CS picks up the other $1.5 million for their oil and gas work.
Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't want the people to think that we're not done working on that issue. Yeah. I think we've just started, actually. We've got years of revenue expenditures ahead of us before we have an income. And I got one more.
Uh-huh. Senator Stedman.
The last one I have, the Department of Commerce, which we had to make some adjustments there that, you know, you just have to make adjustments sometimes. So that's the way that was. We transferred two positions from the Office of Economic Development. They were transferred back, and that's those positions belong there. That was $86,000. There was a $3 million move from general fund to business license receipts. Again, that's one of those fund shifts. And this is the budget that the other funds came out of. So we need to take I'll point that out here in a minute. There was $121,000deleted special project management position funding. Again, we were dealing with positions, and we were pretty tight on that. there was a deduct of almost $40,000 for the transfer of the state celebration. That was set up in its own separate account so we could keep track of that. That's just kind of a change the line where we can isolate that and again watch that, because we don't want the euphoria to get out of hand with the general fund. And then there was $172,000 moved general fund to vehicle rental tax receipts to fund the Division of Tourism activities. That's another little adjustment there. And there was another move under the Qualified Trade Association contract for $2.5 million. That was a move general funds to vehicle rental tax receipts. The Alaska Seafood Marketing, that number came in a little higher. The governor requested 2.3, and the House is at 5, and for whatever that's worth. But the Senate, we're at 2, and that's an increase for ASME for domestic and international marketing efforts. And my suggestion to ASME is they don't spend it until we're done with the budget, because that's, liable to be in flux. Under the RCA, there was a reduction there. We came in at $150,000 for a one-time GF increment to fund the development of new small hydroelectric power regulations. There's two issues there. One of them, which is to have the RCA set up and implement regulations to handle these small hydros, and the other one is the ongoing management of it. But to get the system in place, it takes funding to put the records in place, and then as small hydros come on, they'll have a revenue source. Their original request at the governor's level was $325,000, but that was not only for the development, but implementation and management, which they didn't all need in this year. So this is basically enough money to get them started, get the regs rolling, and then we'll deal with the self-supporting nature of that as we go forward. So that looks like they got hit pretty hard, but in reality, they didn't. And if we look at the bottom, when we look at our general fund, it looks like we had a negative 36% decline. And again, we've got to take that with a grain of salt, because some of that money was moved over to the previous budget I talked about, which inflated that up to 12. So there's movements between the two. So we got to net everything together. So I wouldn't want people to think I clocked them 36%. The headcount went from 514 down to 511. We denied two new Aruba positions, deleted special project manager position, and that was a tough decision. I want to use the word the circuit rider issue of a couple of people go around and check on maintenance and help with water and sewer systems and stuff like that in rural areas. We just had to make reductions, and I think there's an interest by some people to have that revisited. But as it stands today, that is out. That pretty much wraps up the Department of Commerce. Again, I'd just like to take note again that when we see the general funds declining by 36%, that's mostly a fund transfer into another budget. And we couldn't hit a department like that, you just can't do that. I mean, it wouldn't exist.
Thanks, Senator Stedman. And I might just add, one of the amendments that I'll bring to the table for your consideration is an addition for the independent traveler, and I think all of you have been visited, to target the people on the highway and the mom and pop that's in their car or RV and on our ferry system. And the fund source, if there's any there, will be the vehicle rental tax. So you'll see that on Monday. So just follow on to what you said. We should also talk a little bit about the PCE request. James, make sure I say this right. The CS funds the PCE program at 90%, right? And then on page 61, it has the same type of a program that we had for the agencies. And if ANS is at the $58.50 price on October 1st and April 1st, there is another $6.5 million that would be appropriated to PCE. If it's at that price on those two dates, then it would be, the total would be to the governor's requested $25 million.
Correct.
Is that correct, James, what I just said?
Correct.
And you can see the table there that starts at $54 and works up to $58.50. Senator Dyson?
Yeah, thank you. Seemed like a month or two ago at this table, as we were considering the energy cost crises that we're having various places in the state, we had some discussions about trying to figure out how all these programs fit together. And I had suggested, and I drafted up a bill that we actually filed it, that we ask some state department to give us an overview of how all the various programs fit together and what qualifies and who's getting more than one and so on and so forth, and get a report back to us, you know. And I just ask that we think about, could we do that, accomplish that in this budget document? You know, and it's just an open question, because I sure would like to know the information before some of us are sitting here next year trying to figure out what to do about accelerating energy costs around the state.
It's a great question that I think we all struggle with, and so far we answer it with money. And so
maybe we should just appropriate taxes for people.
So Senator Dyson, I don't have an answer for you. That's a big project. But you're to be commended for keeping it on the table in front of us. And I'll accept volunteers for that committee. See me in my office. So we ought to write herd on the administration and see what we can get out of that. Where is your bill?
I think it's here.
Is it? Senator Stedman?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, on that note, you know, we all have good intentions, and remember last year we did funding, and well, not only on the, well, several areas, helping the municipalities, and then after the fact we find out that you know, some of it was funded for people that are diesel dependent or generator dependent, and it ended up in the hands of some people that were on hydro. And so I think we, you know, it would be nice when we look at that to try to isolate those different energy sources, so we're more focused. Because clearly, the family that is burning a little generator is at more risk to the oil price than someone plugged into a hydro system.
I wonder if, and I know just enough here to be dangerous, but I wonder if the Joint Action Agency, as it comes together, might be able to have a source of funding that would take that on for the benefit of the state. Just a thought. So, okay, anything else on commerce? Thanks, Senator Stedman, Miles, for your help. Let's see, a couple more. Office of the Governor. Essentially accepted as presented. No changes in the governor's budget. Any questions on the governor's budget? Senator Hoffman?
Yep.
Legislature, the last one. The legislature took some decrements to meet their goal, and I should make note of those. Legislative audit had a decrement of $125,000. Ledge finance a decrement of $625,000. Session expenses a decrement of $33,000. Council and subcommittees had a decrease of $175,000. And the legislature's operating budget component decreased to $66,000. So the legislature governor had asked for 51.919, and the Senate subcommittee funded it at 50.912. So, any questions on the legislature?
I just point out it is the smallest percentage increase of any of the budgets.
Yes. Thank you for pointing that out.
And that, Mr. Chairman, that is with the thought in mind that the special sessions that we have in store to pay for.
Yeah, we have budgeted in both 06 and 07 20-day special sessions. So if we run over 40 days, God forbid, we'll be back. So, Senator Hoffman?
I don't know if they're special, they're just extra.
Yeah.
Well, this one might be extra special.
But, you know, we had heard the Senator Stevens at his address to the legislature on a couple of items, and I know we've taken care of one of them in the supplemental, and that was on the power problems with at the federal level with with getting additional funds to convince people to open ANWR, and I'm glad for that. But one other one that he had mentioned was we should seriously consider having some match funds for the Denali Commission. And to follow through with his wishes, I probably will be bringing an amendment to follow through with his direct to the committee.
Thanks, Senator Hoffman. Senator Green?
Mr. Chairman, I think you were in the room when we were here, when the Denali Commission came before us with their initial presentation and said in their budget they would never request anything in our budget. And I believe them.
I believe them, too.
Tooth Fairy, too.
Mm-hmm. One at a time.
Tooth Fairy, too.
Senator Hoffman?
I believe them, too, and they're not requesting it. It's Senator Ted Stevens who's requesting it.
Senator Olson, did you have your hand up?
No, I didn't. I mean, I did, but I'll hold it back down.
You were going to say the same thing, weren't you?
From a different angle.
That wraps up the overviews. Let me just say a few things here. So that Ledge Finance can put this on the web, we'll have some changes, which we went through today. But Senator Green, could we get a motion to adopt version P as our main document?
Can we have an ID?
Okay, we'll stand at ease. Senator Green, protocol. We need to move that our reports as presented today be adopted and sent to the full committee. Senator Green, would you?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the reports for the Division of Health and Social Services, Department of Health and Social Services, Department of Correction, Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, and the court's budget be adopted and placed on our final report to bring back to the full committee.
Okay. Thanks, Senator Green. Objection? Seeing none. Senator Sedman, would you please do the same as formality?
Yes, I'd like to move that we move out the Department of Law, Department of Commerce, Community Economic Development, and the Department of Revenue.
Is there objection to passing it to the full committee? Seeing none, so moved, or passes. Senator Dyson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we move the committee's work on Department of Administration, Department of Public Safety, and Department of Homeland Security, Military and Veterans Affairs forward to the larger committee.
Is Thank you. Is there objection? Seeing none. Passed. Senator Bundy.
And, Mr. Chairman, I would move we report out Department of Fish and Game, Department of Labor, and Department of Natural Resources subcommittee reports as our working document.
Is there objection? Seeing none. Passes. Then I would move that the Department of Environmental Conservation, Department of Education, Early Development, University of Alaska, the governor's budget, and the legislature's budget be accepted by the full committee. Is there objection?
I object for a comment.
I can't wait. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the Department of Education, I know we're presenting $90 million to fund the base student allocation. You know, I believe that we have been marching in the right direction and have major increases in that department, but there are school districts throughout the state of Alaska that are still suffering because of the increased cost of PERS and TERS. And as a result of that increase, many of them are seeing what it would be called a decrease in the amount of funds that they have to spend on classroom instructions. And I believe that we should be able to do a little better than what we have in the funding of the $90 million, given that we have at this point a surplus of $1.4 billion, and we're at the threshold of changing our structure on taxation for the state of Alaska. That could also bring in an additional $1.1 billion, which will leave us with a whopping $2.5 billion that is going to be available for allocation. I know that there are savings in our budget, but I think that we could have done better in this budget for the children of the state. With that, I remove my objection.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Other discussion? Okay. Senator Simon?
I object just for discussion. I think coming in on amendment night, we'll have amendments and discussions of within this budget proposal. I assume that the chairman is going to accept the amendments presented and won't reject them. Is that correct?
Pardon me?
Is that correct?
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
The chairman will accept the amendments and present them to the table for discussion. Is that correct?
Oh, sure. Okay. You bet.
I remove my objection then.
Absolutely. And amendments by 1 o'clock on Saturday, and we'll pick those up either. You have to work together with PPT, but either be Monday morning or Monday afternoon. Senator Green, is that or close? It'll be Monday. And our goal is to have it out of finance, out of this committee on Wednesday. So, and then we'll bring it back to the floor the following after Easter. A couple of things that we need to do. Senator Green, could I have a motion to adopt version P so we can get it on the web?
Mr. Chairman, I move we adopt version P. So working.
All right, thank you. And is there objection to having version P adopted? Seeing none, it's so adopted. And we will then take all the work that we've done today, the changes, and have an amended CS to come back to you on. Will that be up on the web? Most of these, okay. Okay. Let's see, I think that's it. I would be remiss if I didn't thank each of you for your work, majority and minority, on these budgets. Thank you. You've done a really great job, and there's lots of work still to be done between the administration and the other body, but I think we've laid a good foundation for a sustainable and respectable budget that we should all be proud of, and we'll continue that work over the next few weeks. But let me thank you and also all the staff that does a lot of the work. We appreciate as always your efforts. And I think if there's nothing else, is there anything else come? Let me, yes, Mindy? Say again? Oh, would you leave the binders? We're going to dress those up a little bit for you. Thank you, Mindy. And if I could, tomorrow, Thursday, will be statewide public testimony, 5:30 Fairbanks and Mattsu, 6 o'clock Anchorage, 6:30 Glen Allen, Seward, Homer, 7 o'clock Kenai, Kodiak, and Dillingham. And then we'll continue that on Friday and Saturday, and I'll make that announcement tomorrow. Anything else to come for the committee?
Mr. Chairman, we'll be here at 9 a.m. tomorrow to hear from the other producers.
Okay, 9 a.m. PPT producers. Okay, thanks, everybody, for your hard work. We're adjourned.